Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Someday, when I'm awfully low,
when the world is cold, I will feel a glow
just thinking of you. And the way you look tonight.
Yeah, right. That's not Sinatra or Fred Astaire in a razor-sharp suit that I see when I look in the mirror. How do you get that hip menswear feel without channeling John Hamm in Mad Men?
And you know what happiness is? Happiness is freedom from fear.
During Fashion Week in New York this year, the range of options for men is a galaxy that spans the distance from Homer Simpson.
Marge, the boy was wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
To Mark Zuckerberg in his CEO hoodie, to Will Smith, or Empire's Lucius Lyon.
Lucius' look is inspired by Tony Montana, Berry Gordy, Clive Davis, Z, Russell Simmons, Puffy.
Well, I believe that Lucius feels that presentation is everything.
In menswear, the possibilities are endless these days, and anyone can play dress-up in Daddy's Closet. Patricia Mears is the deputy director of the museum at the Fashion Institute of Technology. Patricia, welcome back to The Takeaway, and thanks for being with us here during Fashion Week.
Thank you so much, John.
So let's talk a little bit about menswear. The fashion associated with men has changed a lot. And it's also the case that the clothes that men wear has changed a lot. And the places where you do this sort of – I mean, sneakers, for instance, are a gigantic apparel fashion element that never were before.
That's correct.
What can you say sort of overarchingly about the menswear industry right now?
Well, a lot has changed really starting in the late 1960s. The counterculture movement really opened up opportunities for men to wear a far wider range of clothes. And it also set the trend that we see now for people dressing much more casually. Men simply didn't go out onto the street until they had a suit, a tie, shirt, you know, really properly dressed, even if it was somewhat casual, tweed jacket and odd trousers. Today, a t-shirt, jeans, and sneakers really has become a work uniform, which is very unusual. But fashion in general has expanded, really exploded, if you will, over the past 10 years. The internet has certainly helped disseminate information. And it seems that every city in the world now has a fashion week. And not surprisingly, menswear, which is now considered men's fashion, has jumped on the bandwagon. And every conceivable type of garment is available, especially a lot of gender bending. You're going to see men wearing more feminine elements of clothing and women, of course, not surprisingly, adapting more menswear in their wardrobes too.
And jackets really cross over.
Absolutely.
So you can see t-shirts with jackets. You can see the classic, you know, GE CEO, wow, I'm radical, I don't wear a tie.
That's correct.
With a jacket.
Absolutely.
But you can also see a jacket with no shirt on at all.
That's right. And the whole concept of the jackets is such a modern garment. We were seeing it arise in the 17th century. And even in the 18th century, we saw women, Marie Antoinette, one example, wearing elements of menswear when she would go riding with her father-in-law, Louis XV. So this concept of borrowing and using the jacket as a staple of the wardrobe has always been around. But today, as you say, John, it's worn in so many variations. But the fact that it's constant is interesting.
Is it a cyclical thing? I mean, for instance, in the 20s, was that seen, you know, some kind of radical offshoot, or was that mainstream fashion to have women dressed in absolutely male fashion, three-piece suits?
It was cyclical. And remember, right after World War I, Europe was decimated. The male population dropped precipitously, and the role of women changed dramatically. The feminists really had a push forward. And we think of the flapper, but also so many women were wearing menswear ensembles. And by the 1930s, women really had the jacket, usually wearing a skirt during the day, but often trousers as well in other occasions, going to work that way. So this was not unusual. It was the post-war era where we saw a strong return to femininity. Christian Dior was one of the big people to push that hyper-feminine look. But again, by the 1960s, all of that fell apart. And again, women in trousers, women in menswear suits became very, very constant. So cycle is important here, cultural cycle.
How about men? What is the reason for a man in 2016 to pay top dollar for a designer suit, or would they rather just get a hoodie like Zuckerberg?
It really depends on the person. While we've seen a lot of men become more casual and embrace many more elements in their wardrobe, there's a small but ardent group who still love traditional menswear. And so the role of the classic tailor has actually taken on new importance, and it's spread worldwide. Asia now is really one of the most important markets, not just for the consumer, but also for the designer and the people who are printing magazines. Some of the best menswear magazines are coming out of Asia.
And, you know, if we're going to use examples in the United States, Jon Stewart, for instance, it's sportswear.
Exactly.
That's Colbert right. is more of a suit guy.
That's right.
And Mo Rocca on CBS is like totally done up.
Yes, that's right. And again, remember that we're seeing, you were using the word gender bending. I do think elements such as the rise of gay culture has done a lot to give men tremendous freedom in what they wear. And there is also a sense of celebration in men's clothing. You're not looked down upon if you want to dress completely to the nines. And usually one figure will do both. It depends on what circumstance he's sitting in. And we'll see a lot of entertainers will wear a hoodie on one occasion but a full suit on another.
Yes, but does it play in Des Moines?
That's a very good question. Everything plays everywhere now. Again, access to the internet has helped. And remember that schools, which is where I am at FIT, we are not only national but international. So we get kids from all over the country, all over the world. But the reality is, if you look at mainstream America, most people are dressing down, dressing casually. The idea of going through the effort to buy a custom suit, let alone a regular suit, is just not going to be part of most people's choices.
What do students want to do to experiment if they express that feeling to be the next, you know, designer who's, you know, just absolutely wild and exciting?
I think a lot of it takes a certain amount of bravery and environment. One of the reasons why New York is nice is you have a lot more flexibility. If you do want to dress up or a little bit more outrageously, it's not going to cause quite the sensation as if you're going to walk down the street in Des Moines. So location helps a little bit. But I think, again, we're getting exposed to more and more things. The kids are much more open-minded. And if you ask a teenager or a 20-something, their concepts are going to be very different from a middle-aged American.
But we can safely say that the Lady Gaga wear a suit made out of meat is probably over.
I think so. I think so. Let's hope. All right. I don't think it's a trend most people want to embrace.
Patricia Mears, Deputy Director of the Museum at the Fashion Institute of Technology here in New York. Thanks so much, Patricia.
Thank you, John.